Welcome to the fourth and last episode. Today, I would like to offer you support in dealing with an emotionally stressful event in a person's life, also known as a crisis, with situations that we experienced as very dangerous, frightening, and restricting our ability to act, and for which we need a powerful development of skills. First of all, we can ask ourselves, how can we understand the process by which the brain generates the feeling of being in a crisis? There has to be an external context, but you won't necessarily consider a challenging situation as stressful if you have the impression to have creative options at hand to overcome these challenges. In order to be experienced as a crisis, various components must be added. For example, that somebody experienced important needs, important life contents, or meaningful situation conditions as no longer available. So let us take the current time, which is characterized by Corona. Here, your external conditions change and cause restrictions in important needs. For example, we experience effects on our relationship and our feeling of solidarity with other people. And belonging to important groups is no longer as easy or available. Maybe life planning for the year is thrown over. Maybe, for example, you had planned an internship that is no longer feasible. Maybe you can't realize your planned visit to your family. Maybe you are worried about your relatives far away from home. The structures of your studies is changing. You have to cope with the digital semester, and nobody knows how long the situation will last. This leads to a loss of our needs for security, orientation, and connection. There is now an urgent need for action to change the situation and its threat, and an inner pressure to do the right thing in order to be able to get out of the situation. At the same time, there may be a feeling of no longer being able to cope with this effectively. And this inner dilemma, with a feeling of powerlessness on the one hand and pressure to act on the other hand, is now accompanied by certain other components of the experience which can intensify our experience. One feels smaller, weaker, very often much younger, helpless, at the mercy of others, powerless. Then you have typical physical reactions, which I already described in the third episode. So high blood pressure, increased heartbeat, muscle tension, breathing changes, body coordination changes, more adrenaline and cortisol are released. This is often accompanied by the experience of tightness and a feeling of pressure, concentration problems, circle of thoughts, and so on. So this creates an experience in which help is needed. A further component that can maintain or strengthen these vicious circles are goals that are not achievable at the moment. Thus, many students stick to their speed of study and their own high standards despite changes in the general condition during their studies. This increases the pressure and creates a feeling that everything will be okay again when the situation changes again. These changes cannot be achieved by the student themselves, but they will stick to their goals. So for a change in this constructive way, it is helpful to ask yourself, how can you pursue your own realistic goals? I have described these processes within a crisis event in such a detail to make it easier for you to develop an empathetic, understanding, and affectionate behavior towards yourself when you are currently experiencing a crisis. It is a very difficult experience, which initially develops in an autonomous way. But this doesn't mean that you cannot do anything about it yourself. So helpful in such situations are relationships that provide support and security and the encounter with other people. These can, for example, be family or friends, but also professional help, such as we offer in our psychological counseling center. Additionally, you can also do something for yourself. It is very important to us, at this point, that you don't get the impression that all you need is an appropriate strategy or practice and you will be out of your crisis. It is basically important, good and useful to get help in such a situation. Our following exercise should rather be a supporting and accompanying offer, so that you might have a scope of design, how to deal with a difficult situation, because in coping with anxiety, there's an immediate effect when we feel that we can do something. Biographical memory research show that we store all the episodes we experience in the course of our lives in our memory, both experience of powerlessness and helplessness, and experience of competence and self-effectiveness. So, we have a whole range of experiential elements in us, which our unconscious can call up on to react to a situation. Therefore, sometimes it can be really helpful to stop for a moment and try to change your pattern of how you would normally deal with a difficult situation. But how do we do this now? How do we bring about changes in our current experience? In the following, I would like to do a little exercise with you, which might influence your inner images and inner dialogues, especially in an experienced crisis. Through imagination, we can succeed in leaving the identification with our crisis experience and create an inner distance. The experience was developed by Gunther Schmidt, a German specialist for psychosomatic medicine and psychotherapy, and we took a little part of it. So, let's do an exercise. This one will be an imagination exercise, so you can again sit down and try to concentrate on what I'm saying. In a crisis, it is usually the case that you look at threatening fantasies in a way that makes them come very close, as if you were going into the film and confusing the film with reality. As a consequence, you feel like becoming a helpless, powerless person, which you are basically not, but which dominates the experience at the moment. A first important difference formation is therefore to try to put some distance between you and the threatening fantasy that you have come so close. In order to be able to shape this near distance regulation in a helpful way, it is very important that we change the way we describe ourselves. We should no longer say to ourselves, "I am suffering, I am experiencing a crisis," because this description really sucks you into the painful experience. Now we want to build a distance-creating, protective opposite. So instead, you can say, "One side of me is suffering a very bad crisis at the moment." In such a situation, there's often another side besides that suffering, helpless and fearful side. A side that puts a lot of pressure, for example with the idea, you must reach your goals, take a decision, do justice to everything, do something right now. These two sides occur very often in a crisis. Now we can say, that side that is currently under so much pressure, or that side that is currently so afraid, and it is one side of us, not the whole person. I offer you this description because it helps you to put some distance between you and the oppressive, overflowing experience. I invite you to compare. What effect does it have on your organism when you say, "I am so scared, I'm in a crisis"? And what other reactions would your body experience if you could say something, for example, "One side of me is suffering a very bad crisis right now, and one side of me is full of fear and powerlessness. That is one side of me, not me as a whole person." One way in which you could further extend this distance would be to ask yourself, how would it affect your experience if you were to look from a protective, understanding, observer position at the end with whom you had just confused yourself? So let's assume you were in this situation. You are here, completely protected, with yourself in balance, with the attitude of a caring, loving person, and from here you look with distance and compassion at the fearful, suffering part of yourself. If you look at this part of yourself from such a protected position, with an experience of protection and security, from this position, you have changed your near-distance experience and the relationship to this part. And that one part inside of you might continue to be afraid, and this is perfectly fine. It can even become a strength-giving bodyguard. Because what is this side all for? These suffering sides are ambassadors of needs, which convey to you that you are experiencing a need for protection, security, and for a relationship that is turned towards you, that gives you support and security. And if you can transmit these needs to that side, then perhaps an inner peace and a confidence-giving power will be more noticeable to you. And while you are in a protected inner space in good supportive contact with this fearful, crisis-suffering side, you could now imagine everything else outside of the space, including your voice that is saying, you must, you must, you must. Who has been pressuring you up to now? In such a way, you can also establish respectful contact with it. Because even with the pressure-giving voices inside of you, even if you have experienced them as tormenting and causing suffering, are typically understandable and translatable at sides of you that want something good for you. They want to support you, for example, so that you can finally regain security. The way they do it may not be helpful, but the intention is good. And there is a very constructive effect when you can now influence this side, which has put so much pressure on you up to now. As a rule, we cannot get rid of the sides. As a rule, we cannot get rid of these sides, and it also wouldn't be sensible at all, because they support us in important concerns and need. But we can change the relationship to them. So you could, for example, place this pressure-bearing side in a coaching zone 2 to 3 meters far away in your environment where it can call out loud. And that can remind you to take a deep breath and stop for a while. But you can probably only do that if you had her out there at a distance of 3 meters. And you can thank her for wanting to remind you that you also need to stay alert and be calm and protected to consider what is the most sensible strategy for dealing with this challenging situation. So, we are at the end now, and we hope you enjoyed our little podcast. At the end, we would like to point out that we, as the Psychological Counseling Center, are here to help you to deal with situations and difficulties that we have described in this podcast. Sometimes, difficulties can be solved on your own, or with the help of friends and family. However, sometimes it is not sufficient, and professional help can become necessary. And this is where we come in. A lot of times, it can already help a lot if you confide in someone who is familiar with this situation and can empathize with you. Usually, we offer counseling one-to-one. Important to know is that all of our counseling is strictly confidential and free of charge. So if you want to make an appointment with us, you can reach us best via phone or email. Just check out our website. At the end, I want to thank my colleague Svante Knopka, who has supported me with the script, Jutta Pahl from the International Office Uni Bremen, who had the idea of creating the podcast, Fiona from the International Office for Text Correction, and of course, my whole team of the Psychological Counseling Center for encouragement on this podcast. So thank you for listening. Good luck and take care of yourself.